Yuma Perik Zayin Mishnah Hey 7-5, the last of the Perik. And although we just completed with the previous Mishnah the entire order of the day for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim, we now finish up by talking about the garments that the Kohen Gadol and a regular Kohen would wear every day of the year. The reason why this is here is at least two possibilities. One is we differentiated repeatedly between the Kohen Gadol's white clothing, Bigdei Lavan, and his golden vestments. So we'll see here what those golden vestments look like, as opposed to the white vestments as well, which is what with the Kohen Hediot, the regular Kohen would wear. In addition, the end of the Mishnah will have the punchline that only while the Kohen Gadol is wearing all eight of his Bigdei Zahav, his usual eight vestments, may he be asked to consult with the Urim V'Tumim, as I'll explain about that in a moment, and that occurs in the Kodesh Kedoshim. So that's another unique usage of the Kodesh Kedoshim, aside for the Avodah of Yom Kippurim. Also, the consultation with the Urim V'Tumim happens in the Kodesh Kedoshim, so therefore it has a connection here. The Mishnah says inside, Kohen Gadol Mishamash B'Shmona Kelim. The Kohen Gadol serves with eight articles of clothing. Kelim means, in general, it means utensils. But throughout the Talmud, when it says Kelim, the typical reference of Kelim is a reference to an article of clothing. In the time of Chazal, most of the artifacts people had were clothing. They had very few, unlike today, relatively few other kinds of artifacts, utensils outside of clothing. And similarly, by the way, when the Gemara says peros, produce, it's typically referring to grain, although it could refer to other kinds of food as well. So here the Kohen Gadol serves with eight different articles of clothing. The hediot, and a generic Kohen, hediot means in contrast to someone special, this is a more generic version, so the Kohen hediot is a generic Kohen of the Kohen Gadol. Ba'ar ba'a, he, the Kohen hediot, wears just four specific vestments, and the Kohen or Kohen Gadol must be wearing specifically these four or eight, and all of them in order to do their respective avodas. Without the full set of clothing, the avoda is not allowed. It's puzzle. So first we have Bikatones. The first four that go to every Kohen first, then we'll add the extra four that go in the Kohen Gadol. The first is the Katones. The Katones is translated as a tunic. It's basically, think of it as like a kind of like a nightshirt, what it looks like. So it's a shirt, if you will, but it's tight-fitting, and it extends, the sleeves extend all the way down to the wrists. The neckline is quite high, and the hem goes all the way essentially down to the ankles. So this is a total, a tunic. Umechnasayim. The tunic, I should say is made out of linen. So it's plain white linen. This will be what I'll refer to later on as a big day love on, white garments. So it's pure linen. Umechnasayim. Mechnasayim are, I think, translated typically as breeches, or I sometimes say boxer shorts. The truth is it doesn't have an exact analog in our dress today. You can think of them as boxer shorts. They're serving as his undergarment, but they are very high-waisted. They actually go up, it says, to just beneath the heart, so like, you know, middle of his torso, and there are like straps that tie around his torso to fix it. This is, of course, an age before elastic, etc. And the legs of the mechnasayim extend all the way down to the knees. So you can call it boxer shorts, but these are, of course, very extended undergarments, kind of like a horse riding breech or something like that. Also made out of linen, white. Umitznefes. The mitznefes is the turban, the head wrap that's worn. Now, according to the Chumash, we differentiate between the mitznefet is the term used for the turban of the Kohen Gadol, whereas a migba'at is the word used for the turban of a Kohen Hediot. It seems from Rashi there's not much of a difference. There may be a small difference in as much as the Kohen Gadol has to wear the tzitz, as we'll see in a moment, the headband, the golden headband, whereas a Kohen Hediot does not, but essentially the mitznefes, or something very similar to it, is the plain linen garment worn both by the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hediot. And finally, the avnet. The avnet is like a sash, kind of a belt, that wraps around the waist of the Kohen or Kohen Gadol. It's large. It's three etzbos wide, so three fingers wide, I don't know what that is, a couple inches wide, a few inches wide. and 3 inches wide, let's say, and it is 32 amos long. So that's something like 16 meters, 50 feet, something like that. It's very long. So it wraps around again and again and again around the torso, like the waist of the Kohen or Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol's avnet is actually made up not just of plain linen, but actually, like the other garments, but instead it's made up of four different types of threads: pishtan, which is linen, as well as tcheles, that's wool that's dyed blue with the chilazon juices. The argamon is like a wool that's dyed, say, purple, and tolaash shni, that's wool that's dyed crimson, red. So then those four different types of threads are woven together to make the Kohen Gadol's avnet, his sash. On Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol certainly does not wear that colorful sash. He wears a plain white sash. As far as the Kohen Hediot, what do they wear? So it's not explicit, it's not clear. So it's actually a machlokas in the Mefarshim, whether it's the Kohen Gadol who alone wears the colorful avnet and the Kohen Hediot wears simply a white one, or whether the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen of Hediotos alike wear this colorful belt, Yom Kippur put aside. I should have mentioned, by the way, I regret it, I just want to mention that the ketones, the tunic for the Kohen Gadol, at least for sure, it's got a very special type of weave. It's called mishbetzet. It's kind of like a waffle weave. It's boxes translated as, so you can think of something like the old school like thermal underwear. So it's got that, like, kind of it's just raised, the weave is raised into kind of little boxes. So that is the something very specific about the ketonas by the Kohen Gadol, and it's a machlokas in the Rishonim whether the Kohen Hediot also had this, like, specially weaved ketonas, or they had just a smooth, that kind of broadcloth, simple linen ketonas. So that's the Ibn Ezra says it was on the Kohen Gadol, whereas the Rambam says that the Kohen Hediot as well had mishpatzot, this, like, box weaved ketonas. Those are the four garments that are common to all the Kohanim, Kohen Gadol included, and that's basically what he would wear as his big day lavan on Yom Kippur to do what I called before, phase two and phase four, going in the Kodesh HaKodashim, again with the avnet being plain linen. Umosef alav Kohen Gadol. As the Kohen Gadol, he has four more garments. I'll call them vestments in addition to those first four, and these go on top of those. First of all, you have the choshen. Choshen translated typically as, like, the breastplate, for lack of a better term, but don't think of it as being metal. It was really woven out of fabric. It included golden threads, as you'll see. All four of these additional garments do have gold woven into them, and that's why they're one of the reasons they're called Bigdei Zahav, golden garments, because they have gold included. But they weren't just of golden threads. They also had tcheles, the blue wool, argamon, the purple wool, and tola shani, the crimson wool, as well as pishtan, linen. So that's all woven together. It was basically half an amma wide, called a zeres. Let's call that something like 9 to 12 inches wide, and it was double that length, so a full amma long. Let's call it 1.5, 2 feet, half a meter. And then it was folded in half, so that once it's folded, so basically you have, like, half an amma, half by half an amma, something like around, like, say, 9 by 9 inches, 25 by 25 centimeters, something like that. And inside the fold is where you put that Urim V'Tumim. We'll come back to that shortly. But Urim V'Tumim is like a parchment where the Shem Hashem Mefurash is written and put inside of it there. Now, this essentially woven breastplate had to attach to his other garments, so it had four golden rings on the four corners. The two upper rings were attached to the ephod, we'll set up in a second, the apron, via golden chains, and the two lower rings were attached to the ephod via tcheles threads, these blue wool threads. And then woven into the choshen were kind of like sockets, places where you could put in the stones, the avnei choshen, the stones that go inside the breastplate, of which there were 12, the one for each of the 12 shvatim. So on each of these 12 precious stones, it was like a matrix, 3 wide by 4, 3 by 4, on the choshen for 12 stones. Each stone had engraved one of the names of one of the 12 tribes, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, etc. bit of a machlokas exactly the order where it's in chronological order, or Leah goes first, Leah's children go first, and be there as it may, you have those 12 stones, and those are going to be useful and used when one consults Urim Batumim. Now, if you check carefully, you'll see that we're missing four letters of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Four don't appear in the names of the 12 tribes. So those are the Tzadi, the Tes, the Ches, and the Kuf. So in addition, we had engraved on the stones the names of the patriarchs Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Yitzhak gives us many letters of me, but you can see there that the Tzadi, as well as the Ches and the Kuf. In addition, we also have engraved the words either Shivtei Yeshurun or Shivtei Ka, Yodhei, meaning the tribes of Israel, the tribes of God. And that's also, so that will give us the missing test that we need from Shevet. Okay, so then those stones with their engravings are embedded into the Choshen, the breastplate, which then is attached to the ephod, and that's the second of the four, the ephod. The ephod is translated as an apron. This definitely a picture is worth a thousand words, see what it looks like. But basically, it's something like an apron. It has straps that wrap over the Kohen Gadol's shoulders and around his waist and kind of covers most of his clothing, and that is going to be attached to the Choshen, which sort of stands in the middle of it. Worth seeing a picture. Be honest, the ephod was also made out of golden threads, as well as Tcheles Argamon and Talashni and Pishtan, so you have all the same threads as before, including gold again, you see. And that is what held the Choshen. Then you have the Me'il. Now the Me'il went under the ephod, but it went on top of the ketonis. The Me'il, kind of like the ketonis, also like a tunic, similar, but this Me'il was made exclusively out of Tcheles. It's solid blue, covered, again, the whole body of the Kohen Gadol, with like a nice thick hem at the bottom so it shouldn't tear, a nice high round neckline by his neck, down sleeves all the way to the bottom, like by his wrists, and at the hem, the bottom had the famous Rimonim and Pa'amonim. There are 72 different like balls, I'll call them, that were made out of also Tcheles, Argamon, and Talashni. So little balls made out of woven wool of different colors. And then between each of the Ramonim, there was the Pa'amonim, these golden bells. And as the Kohen Gadol would move, the bells would chime and people would hear them coming. That was built into the structure of the Me'il. Then finally, he had the tzitz. The tzitz is a kind of golden headband that goes across the full forehead, the whole from ear to ear, so across the whole way to the Kohen Gadol's forehead. And it was two etzbos thick, so I'll call it thick. And it was written, the words Kodesh Lashem, sanctified to God, if you will, was written, engraved into the tzitz. So in addition, the tzitz had three holes, one on each side and one in the middle, through which strings of tcheles were tied so that the tzitz could be attached to the Kohen Gadol's head. Through the middle hole, there was a string that went over the top, on top of his mitznefes, others from around the sides, and all tied in the back so it stayed on his head properly and didn't fall off. And the Mishnah therefore says those are the eight garments that the Kohen Gadol will wear on a regular day or his big day Zav, even on Yom Kippur, when he does his avoda. And the Mishnah says, Be'elu nishalin ba'urim betumim. Only while the Kohen Gadol is wearing these eight vestments may the Urim Vetumim be consulted. So again, the Urim Vetumim is a reference to the Shem Hashem, the writing of God's name onto this parchment that was put inside the folds of the Choshen, which sort of was like the battery pack, if you will, that powered it up, and they could be consulted. What would happen would be that the Kohen Gadol would stand in the Kodesh Kodashim, he would face towards the Aron, the person who had to consult with him, let's say the king would ask him the question that he wanted to ask. The king would stand behind the Kohen Gadol, facing the Kohen Gadol facing the Aron, and the Urim Vetumim, they're called that Urim, from Ur means light, because it like Shemeirim Divrehem, their light, it like lit forth its message, they were explicit and clear, and Tumim is like completion, The point is that what the Urim V'Tumim said is what went. It was like definitive, and there was no, yeah, what was said, what it said was fulfilled. So what happened is the Kohen Gadol would be asked a question by the questioner standing behind him. The Kohen Gadol would look down at the stones on the Choshen, and with the Ruach HaKodesh, he would see certain of the letters being bolet, like protruding. And again, with the Ruach HaKodesh, he would sort of decipher that anagram, ordering the letters to make a meaningful message in answer to the question that was being asked of him. And the Mishnah ends by saying, Ve'ein nishalin el lemelech ulebezdin ulemish et tzibur tzarech bo. Not just anybody can ask the Kohen Gadol to consult with Urim V'Tumim, only a king, or the Bezdin. The Bezdin here, the Beit Din, is referring to the Sanhedrin HaGadol, the great Sanhedrin of 71, or Misha Tzibur Tzarech Bo, or someone upon whom the community, the nation is dependent upon. Like, for example, the Kohen Mashiach, who's taking the people out to war. Again, will consult about, you know, whether or not to go to war and so on. That's a national consideration. So only those types of people may consult the Kohen Gadol, who would then consult with the Urim V'Tumim to get an answer to an explicit question of, like, should we or should we not do something. And with that, we finish the seventh parak of Maseches Yoma, and really the end of a whole complete section, because as the eighth parak begins next, Be'ez Hashem, you'll see that the topic is Yom Kippur, as we experience it today, talking about the various restrictions, as well as who can and can't eat, and finally, tshuva.